Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. A lot is happening in the chaotic world of religious freedom these days. I've asked Michael Peabody, an employment law attorney in Los Angeles and frequent guest on this program, to bring us up to date. Michael is also the driving force behind the very insightful website, religiousliberty.tv. Michael, what's going on out there that we need to know about?
Well, there's always a lot of litigation going on in religious liberty in the United States over things like prayers, parks, monuments, whether or not things are too religious or not religious enough in the public sphere. And there are some cases involving those very things going on right now. One of them is there is a theme park in Petersburg, Kentucky, that is being established by a group called Answers in Genesis, which is an organization that promotes a biblical account of the flood. Mm-hmm. And they have a Ark Encounter theme park that they want to put together. And they have pretty much $25 million worth of committed donations, and the total cost is going to be $150 million to put this together. Mm-hmm. They're putting together a life-size Noah's Ark, which is going to actually be incredible if you take a look at their website, but it's going to cost about $48 million to build that Ark. Mm-hmm. In Kentucky, there are tourism tax incentives for that project that are set to expire May of next year, and the longer it's taking to open up that park, the less the group can receive in rebates. Mm-hmm. Under the current plan, they're going to get about 25% of that back. For the entire park, it could be about $37.5 million. So I'm talking about a lot of money here.
Yes, you are.
But there are organizations, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, that is criticizing the state rebate plan as a violation of the separation of church and state. They've said that the park promotes what they call junk science and is a ministry that shouldn't be financed with taxpayer dollars. That if the park ever is completed, which I think it's going to be completed fairly shortly, they're going to actually file a lawsuit against the park. So that's a typical type of situation where a tax incentive is viewed as a religious establishment violation when the state, you know, gives a tax rebate. So that's one issue that's going on.
Are they right? Is that an issue that we need to say, no, this is violating separation of church and state? What's your take on this?
If the question is whether it's a tourist location, a place for people to come and just look around, or whether or not it's trying to proselytize. If it's designed primarily for the intent of convincing people about religion, then that's one thing. If it's one thing about convincing people, if it's about convincing people to learn more about science, to learn more about the flood and that type of thing, if it's presented in that way, then it may not be. So it really depends on how the park puts itself together and how it's established and what it sends out as its main message.
And it also depends on the attitude of the people who come to the park. Are they coming there for a religious experience? Are they coming there to learn a little bit more about science? And I'm sure the local community, with the millions of dollars that those tourists would pump into that state and that community, are saying, hey, leave this alone. Let's do this thing. This is good for me commercially, even though it has a religious theme connected to it.
Right. It goes back to the idea of what is religion and what is not religion.
Yes, yes, exactly, yes.
You know, I mean, if you want to be philosophical about it, if Noah's Ark was a reality, if the flood was a reality, and it actually happened, then it's history.
Yes, yes it is.
The question, though, is there people say, well, it didn't happen that way. And they say, if that didn't happen that way, it's therefore a religion. As far as people coming to the park looking for a religious experience, I went to Disneyland about 2 months ago, and trust me, people go there for a religious experience. Children are weeping when they see Mickey Mouse.
Oh, you know? They bow down, yes.
You know, in law school, the most common answer to any question you have is, it depends.
Yes, yes.
And when it comes to this case, I'm going to say it depends.
Okay, all right, okay.
Also, in Lake Elsinore, California, there is a minor league baseball stadium that has a monument in front of it that is for World War II soldiers. And it shows a soldier kneeling down in front of the gravesite of a fellow soldier, but the gravesite has a Christian cross on it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the Apigiani Humanist Legal Center sued, saying that it violated separation of church and state for the town to approve the monument. And secondly, they argued that the California Constitution prohibited using government funding for religious purposes, including this type of monument. The question was whether or not it's a Christian monument or whether it's a secular monument. several members of the city council said that it took away a chance to show some reverence for the veterans and America's Christian roots. And they're using that as evidence to say it's a religious monument. That case is actually fairly big because it's really touched a nerve, because people want to honor the fallen soldiers and the veterans of World War II. And it seems like the humanist organization is really overstepping its bounds on this one.
Why can't we, as Christians, push back in like way? An eye for an eye here. Hey, I don't want to go to Disneyland because it doesn't have enough religion in it. And this is a religious nation. We have religious foundations. We have religious principles guiding us. We have prayer at the inauguration. So let's boycott Disneyland because there's not enough crosses there. Why don't we push back in like mind as people push against us? You get me all riled up here, Michael.
I don't get riled up that easily. I guess it's, I tend to be kind of conservative about stuff.
Yeah. And
conservatives don't like to protest.
Well, conservatives get protested against enough that we maybe need to start becoming a little more proactive in our belief system here.
Well, you know, and the way to become proactive, of course, share the gospel, go and spread the message in a positive, uplifting way.
Yeah, I guess.
Boycotting all kinds of stuff. Nobody will know you're boycotting because you're just at home sitting there, you know. You want to...
It's true.
You know, our form of protest as Christians is evangelism.
Yeah.
That's how you speak against what's happening in society, is by showing a better way and by demonstrating the love of Christ in the rest of the world.
Oh, I like that. Our form as Christians, our form of protesting is evangelism. You have made my day, Michael. That is a marvelous statement.
Well, it's true. I mean, yeah. There's... If you look at the situation, you look at the way the world is looking for an answer, and the last thing they need is somebody sitting around jumping up and down telling them that they're wrong.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, at least have something better. You know, it's funny. I used to, you know, see these people. They'd have like a little smiley face and Jesus loves you, and they put it on their car and stuff, and then they'd drive around like maniacs and it really offend a lot of people.
Yes.
And it was very embarrassing.
Yes.
You know, I'm still nervous about putting a fish on my car or something, because I'm afraid someday I'm going to do a horrible thing in traffic.
There goes that horrible Christian driving like a maniac. Yeah, I can see that.
And I had one guy I knew who, he had a bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot.
Yeah, right.
And he was getting in so many wrecks, I thought he had a bumper car. So, I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. And that's one thing I think prevents evangelism, is people afraid of coming off as, you know, they make a mistake and all of a sudden their witness leaves. And, you know, of course, I think the key to evangelism is humility.
Well, you know, we have prime examples of this in these televangelists that just go all haywire. They're preaching God and they're going to prostitutes and they're embezzling money and all kinds of bad things happen. So, yeah, I like the fact that you're saying evangelism is our form of protest. But we're supposed to be personally evangelizing. Our life is supposed to be an evangelistic meeting that everyone can watch and enjoy. It seems to me that we're doing a pretty bad job of being the Christ that we're supposed to be showing to the world. Am I on the right track here?
I think you are on the right track. And you know, the interesting thing is I've recently been studying a lot on atheism. So I'm very curious about why somebody would go to these extents. Why are they opposing these monuments and different things? Because they don't believe in anything. I mean, I don't go around opposing, you know, Mickey Mouse.
No.
I mean, I recognize, hey, go there, it's kind of fun. It's, yeah, you know, it's a cultural thing, and my kid loves it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, but what makes them tick? And one of the things I found that's very interesting is that one of the Christian doctrines that offends them the most is the doctrine of forgiveness and grace.
Huh.
Because they look at the evil that's happened in the world, they look at horrible stuff that's happening, and then they say, oh, all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and it's taken away. That's like a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
So they see bad behavior by Christians and then equate that with a sense that Christians can simply ask for forgiveness and all of it be erased as a real big cop-out. And they actually look at themselves as saying, hey, we're taking responsibility for our actions, at least, and we want to make the world a better place. And it starts and ends with us. You know, we don't like this idea that you feel like you don't have to do anything for society because you're going to get out of it soon.
Yeah.
So I think as Christians, you know, there's something we can learn from that.
There certainly is, and we need to learn it not only internally. We need to preach it externally. We need to live it externally. We need to say, look, We're human. We make mistakes. We need as much forgiveness as you do. We need to have that forgiveness as much as you do. And the fact forgiveness is there doesn't mean it is a free license for us to do anything we want to do. I think that's a message we need to be preaching more often.
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the things is that, you know, it's a big mistake to act like everything you do is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it's really confining.
So the monument that we need to construct outside of our lives needs to be someone bowing before the cross, and that someone needs to be us. We are as much in need of forgiveness as anyone else, and we are in much of need as grace as anyone else, and we need to say, look, the mistakes I make by error, by misjudgments, by turning away from what I believe, not being in what I believe, but those things happen when I turn away. Would that be a good way of preaching that?
I believe so. I think that's right on point.
Well, Michael, we just have a couple of minutes left here. Anything else you'd like to share with us from the wonderful world of religious liberty out there?
One of the most interesting things that happens is there are always these debates about things like prayer in public events, mm-hmm. prayer in city council meetings, or whether or not it's permitted, or whether you have to allow everybody to pray or just a few people to pray. And there's some general themes that go through it. I think they are instructive to Christians, and that is prayers are to God. They're a communication between us and God. They're not an opportunity to preach to other people. They're not supposed to convince people that they're wrong or to sway a meeting a particular way. Mm-hmm. They're really an opportunity to invoke God's blessing and that He direct the conversations, that He direct your path as you go forward in meetings and different things. Sometimes, as these issues have come up, people have turned prayer into a protest and
yes,
become
yes,
a
yes.
political statement. And
yes.
I don't think that's what prayer is intended to do. I don't think it honors prayer, and I don't think it honors God. I think sometimes, you know, you need to go to the window and open the window like Daniel did and pray loudly, and other times, like Jesus said, you pray in the closet quietly. But always keep praying. You know, you can pray whether or not it's officially allowed as a public statement. And prayer should be the form, the basis of the Christian life. But how that is expressed should be very carefully looked at and make sure that it's in compliance with the will of God.
All right. Very, very good. Michael Peabody is an employment lawyer in Los Angeles, California. He's also the driving force behind ReligiousLiberty.tv. Michael, thank you for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And listener, the website, www.libertymagazine.org. Check it out. Lots of good stuff waiting for you there. A lot of articles by Michael Peabody, I think, are posted there, as well as these programs. You can listen to our interviews anytime you want. Share them with thought leaders in your community. Also, the magazine, you can subscribe there. Liberty Magazine is there every couple of months to let you know what's happening out there in the world of religious liberty, things that we need to know so we can protect what we have in this country. That's all at libertymagazine.org. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Michael Peabody inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.